Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for haunted attraction hauntainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we hope that your haunt season is going well. You should be knee-deep in it, regardless of what type of haunt you run. If you are home haunt and only open that weekend before Halloween, you're probably super busy preparing.
Right.
And if you are working at a professional haunt, well, you're probably working.
Yeah.
And have been for a couple of weeks. So here's to hoping that your haunt season has been going well and that we're able to provide some entertainment, maybe while you're working or on the drive to or somehow engaging with your haunt.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be the little birdie in your ear talking to you then. Listen to us. So that I can tell you that our website is hauntweekly.com and you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Haunt Weekly. YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. And of course, you can find us at iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Yay.
Yay, you are giving me a look.
No.
All right, folks. Well, last week was episode 200, which as we know was Divisible by 4. That was supposed to be a news episode.
Yes.
But we opted to do some celebratory stuff.
Right.
And real quick, before we continue, we have our contest winners.
Yes. Congratulations,
congratulations
to you all.
The contests are done. They've all been given away, I believe. We're pretty much done.
Yes.
We will announce, I guess, the big winners after we ship things.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll announce everything probably the next episode. But people will have them before... I would say they'll be shipped this week sometime.
It seems likely, yeah. We've got a lot to get out there.
Yeah.
And with haunt season and haunt visits, it's one of the reasons this episode's a little late.
Right.
Is because we've been doing haunt visits ourselves. So with all that, there's a little bit of time being consumed here, but we're going to try to get all this out to you sometime this week or early next is the goal.
Right.
So be patient, stay tuned. Those of you who were told you're winners, you should have gotten messages already.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, you did it.
Yay.
We're going to be shipping you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get stuff. But in the meantime, we have conference reminders. And though technically it's a news episode, because like I said, we are doing the news, it is an odd episode. You are the oddball.
Yes.
So, Crystal, will you do the honors and kick us off?
Okay. So, the last weekend of the Lost Souls Chicago bus tour is this coming weekend, October 11th and 12th in Chicago, Illinois. The locations vary. Go to their website, see what's still available for this coming weekend. I guarantee you it's worth it. Two-night pass is $240. LostSoulsChicago.com for that info.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I've been checking out the photos from the first weekend.
Right.
They look like they had a blast. But we knew that.
Yeah, we did.
We knew they were going to have a good time. We've been there.
Exactly.
It's an awesome time. But no, the photos look excellent. Brewster Bonesaw is being very Brewstery.
Yeah.
Silly happy for everyone involved doing it. And like I said, to go on the last two nights, it's just $240.
Yeah.
That's six haunts.
Yeah.
Plus transportation. Plus better than VIP access.
Plus parties.
Plus parties. Plus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do this. Just trust me.
Yeah.
All right. Also that weekend in Salt Lake City, Utah, it's FearCon October 11th and 12th at the Riverbend Event Center. Features 6+ mini haunts, more than four escape rooms. Tickets are just $30. Sponsored by the Dead City Haunted House. FearCon.com for more information.
Yeah. November 8th and 9th. So after season legendary haunt tour in Atlanta, Georgia. They will be meeting at the Gwinnett Place Hotel, but you will be touring Netherworld Haunted House, Aatrox, and among others, Legendary Haunt Tour with 2Ts.com.
All right, after that, December 9th in Kissimmee, Florida, is the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium 2019. I don't know why it says 2018 in the notes. It's definitely 2019. At the Gaylord Palms Hotel. It's done by the Haunted Attractions Network. There's a very good chance you listen to this podcast on the Haunted Attraction Network, as we are a member. And we're the only weekly podcast on it. So we kind of seem to have a lot of episodes there. But yes, it is by the Haunted Attractions Network. There'll be four keynotes, including discussions and a private viewing of Christmas by Gaylord's Palm, by Gaylord Palms, hauntedattractionnetwork.com. And Gaylord Palms it's not a hotel. Sorry. It's the location. My apologies. And it's leadership. It's either hauntedattractionnetwork.com or leadership-symposium.org for more info. That leadership-symposium.org is a more direct website.
Okay. January 17th through the 19th, it's HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo here in New Orleans. It is the last time it will be in New Orleans for years, so be sure to come and see us. It'll be at the Ernest M. Morial Convention Center. It'll also be featuring us. We are going to set up an event so that you can be the first ones to see this new haunt design.
Yeah, this is really going to be interesting because since our season was canceled,
yep,
you guys will be literally the first to see it.
Yeah.
You'll be the guinea pigs.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's going to be something. That's going to be a thing.
Yeah, and we're going to do it that Friday.
All right.
That's what we've been talking about. That's what we've been told we're doing it.
Yeah.
So, we will also be speaking on the basic of scare tactics. So, we were all up in this. HauntCon.com for more info.
Yes, indeed. And finally, this week, February 21st through the 23rd, it's Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex, touring the Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off, also a costume ball, hauntx.com for more information. If you're in that area, I definitely encourage you to check that one out.
Yeah, that's one I'd want to go to.
That's definitely one I would want to go to as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it for conference reminders right now. We did a bit of updating since the last time we spoke. Real fast, even though we don't have a season this year, a quick update on our haunt. they moved a backhoe onto our street.
Yeah.
And in a moment of absolute hilarity, I didn't even tell... I told Ellie this. I haven't told Crystal this yet. This is funny. When I got back from my meeting earlier today, I saw that there was a big truck on the other side of Vivian.
Okay.
So I got a little excited thinking maybe some road work was taking place or something. So I parked, said hi to Ellie, turned around and left to go check it out. It turns out it was the big sewage and septic sucking services truck that works on the portalet for the construction workers.
Oh, God.
So, not paving the road unless they're paving it with literal shit.
Yeah.
Which might actually be an improvement.
Maybe, yeah.
So, yeah, that was frustrating. We still have no official word from the city. We've not gotten any notices. We have no idea what's happening. But right now, we have a giant backhoe more or less in front of our house.
Yeah.
And that alone is what they call an attractive nuisance. So if we had a lot of kids coming, that alone would be a problem. But anyways, so yeah, it's looking like they're going to start the tear up pretty soon, though.
Yeah, it's really weird this season because we go to haunt and get all excited because we're at a haunt or a see Halloween decorations, get all excited because they're like, they Halloween big. And then
realize our situation and we're kind of miffed and sad. And
yeah. So,
yeah. And honestly,
sorry guys.
and here's the thing. It's like we've done three haunts already. We did a New Orleans Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
We did Rise.
Yeah.
And we did Scout Island. I don't think any of them were particularly bad experiences.
No.
Rise and New Orleans Nightmare in particular were positive experiences this year.
Yeah.
But we still end up leaving them depressed because of our situation.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to them. They put in a lot of good work and did a lot of neat things.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's basically on the way home that it hits us that we're not doing ours.
Yeah. It's really, really rough. And like I said, really enjoyed a lot of the changes they made at Rise. New Orleans Nightmares made some good additions too.
Yeah.
Scatalon Scream Park, like I said, they've done a lot of good work in some of the new attractions, but I think we went on the exact wrong night.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that in a future episode. We've actually been planning our next couple of weeks of topics.
Right.
Because a minor programming note.
Yeah.
While we're here discussing this, we're recording this one Lakes of Haunt Visits. Next weekend, we're going to be in Houston.
Right.
Houston. Houston!
No, okay. It's Houston.
It's Houston.
Yeah.
We'll be in Houston. So we're going to Houston, and we're going to record next week's episode probably tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go ahead and record another episode shortly after that because we know the haunt season and haunt visits. We can't guarantee when we'll be able to record. We do this every year right around now. We try to get a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
Whenever we have a kind of a respite.
Yeah, and it's the only time of year that we do it.
Yeah.
Usually it's, what are we going to record today?
Yeah. The best case scenarios are we planning an interview or something and have been working on that for a minute and have that done. Those are the best case scenarios. But even those are usually done the week before they come out.
Yeah.
Unless we record them on a news week, at which point we hold them for 1 week. But as far as recording this far in advance, this is the only time we do it. One of the reasons we do that is because we like to be able to stay fairly topical. If things happen, we can at least mention it.
Right.
So, anyways, so we're going to be doing that. We've got some topics lined up I think are going to be interesting. Maybe a little controversial. We'll see. But yeah, so that's what we're doing coming up. Covering our butts pending travel and haunt visits.
Yep.
So anyways, as we said, we're doing the news this week, even though it's technically one episode late because of our 200th episode celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So, Crystal, would you like to kick off with the first story?
Sure. And the first two stories actually are hand-to-hand, but...
we'll do the first one first and the second one second.
That's what I'm doing. So customers were raising concern over a Christian County haunted attraction. This is brought to us by Nikki Ogle at KY3. Dozens of people complained about the Forest of Terror and Haunted River near Nixa,
Missouri. I've never...
Yeah. It's in Missouri.
They didn't even say it out loud in the video that I recall.
Yeah, so customers went there expecting one thing. They got a totally different show. They were promised a lot more.
Yeah, well, they advertised three attractions. They apparently only had two.
Right.
And anytime they asked, well, where's the haunted house, which was...
Yeah.
They got looked at like they had turds hanging out of their mouth.
Yeah, it's like, you said there was a haunted house. What haunted house? We didn't say there was a haunted house.
Apparently, they were charging pretty high amounts.
Yeah, I think it was $45 a ticket.
Yeah, for VIP. So if you had a family, if it was your husband, wife, and child,
yeah,
that's $135.
Yeah, owners claim that it was just a very bad opening night. We're calling bullshit.
Yeah.
And so did all the people. And they applied for a permit to do this.
Yeah, this is a haunt. It's a pro haunt on a private residence.
Yeah.
And we've been to haunts like that. There are several like that in Mississippi that can be said about. And we've been to one in northern Louisiana that was like that. And yeah, you know, the experiences have been mixed, I'll say.
Yeah.
The area where these types of haunts seem to struggle to me is safety. And you know how big I am on safety. And so that's been a problem. But yeah, they applied for a permit and was denied, and it came out in this story that it's a husband and wife team that run it, and the husband, at the time they launched the haunt, was wearing an ankle monitoring device due to a restraining order from a previous incident.
Right.
And I think we get a little more about that in the sequel, but long story short with this, and this kind of boggles my mind, is that enough people showed up to this haunt and then got mad about it.
Yeah.
That it became a news story.
Yeah.
And I get this is in the Ozarks in Missouri. It ain't exactly New York City. It ain't a center of news. But still. I mean, they said at least 9 people contacted the news.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is. I don't... I mean, I've been to some bad haunts.
But we never called the news. Said, "Yeah, you need to."
Yeah, exactly. Or try.
You need to get these guys.
Yeah, or get in touch with City Hall or whatever to say, "Hey, you know, we want to report these guys to the Better Business Bureau," which apparently also happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and if you look on their Facebook now, they have like a 1.6.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's a 1.6 after, like, they and all their family and friends went through and gave 5 stars.
Yeah.
They got review bombed really, really hard. And there's nothing new on there since their opening weekend. The page has not been updated then. It's unclear if they opened or reopened. Because as we found out, they were closed the next weekend. This took place on the Friday the 13th weekend.
Right.
And supposedly they were closed the next and were supposed to reopen the one after that. Well, that weekend's happened, and there's nothing out there. I've searched multiple times. There's no update on the Facebook, no updates on the news site anywhere. So I just, it's difficult for me to fathom a haunt being so bad that people literally are picking up the phone to call the news media to tell them about
it. Yeah. Say, hey, these guys are really bad and not doing a good job. Can you do something?
Yeah. And it gets even worse in the second story.
Right.
Because other haunted attractions are worried about lost business from this one.
Yeah.
Now, once again, it's by Nikki Ogle at KY3. And it's an update, just an update to the previous article. They said, even though they promised they would refund money, no refunds have been issued.
No.
And other haunts in the area are reportedly suffering because of it. There's Field of Screams 417, which has very dissimilar name, but happens to be in the same county, Christian County.
Right.
So just through the proximity of being that close to this crappy, crappy haunt, they're getting review bombed. They're getting customers refusing to do business with them, calling them a scam.
Right.
Even though they seem to be a legit haunt.
Yeah. And this is their first year opening.
Yeah. They don't have a reputation yet.
Exactly.
And their reputation is being slandered, maligned, or otherwise tarnished.
Right. So people are searching probably for haunted house Christian County.
Finding them.
Finding them first.
Good job. But good job on your SEO. Bad timing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, it's rough. And then there's the Haunted Forest, which has a confusing name.
Right.
Because going back, it was the Forest of Terror and Haunted River A. That is just a god-awful name for a haunt.
Yeah.
I mean, I may never make fun of Chamber of Horrors again, and the fact there's like 52 of them in the country.
Well, this is the third Field of Screams, at least.
Yeah, that's true. But their Field of Screams 417. At least they have something after it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at least they're not just the Field of Screams.
It's probably the area code.
Hey, man. You know what? That probably is it. And if so, good on them. At least they differentiated themselves from the others.
Yeah.
Good on that. But yeah, the Forest Hope and the Haunted Forest and Pleasant Hope, which is a distance a ways, but the name is similar enough that they too are getting the problem.
Right. And they are a charity haunt that, that gives lots of monies to people every year. So.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, whenever I get really amped up about haunts that are unsafe or haunts that are scamming people or anti-consumer behavior by haunts, this is why. We are too small of an industry with too short of a window in which we are in front of consumers, really.
Right.
Because what is it? 6 to 8 weeks tops? Out of a 52-week year. We have too small of a window. If there is a bad haunt scamming people or doing dangerous stuff or hurting people or people get injured in a haunt, they're not going to necessarily remember which attraction it was.
No.
They're going to remember, oh, yeah, the so-and-so got hurt at a haunt in, you know, such-and-such county. Google. Oh, yeah. Haunted attraction. Christian County.
Well, and there are other, you know, we have friends who were hurt at haunts as kids and have never gone back to another haunt ever, even ours.
Yeah.
Even ours with lights on and nobody in it, they won't go in.
And the perfect safety record.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, you're losing customers whenever stories like this gets out.
And here's the other thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be in your neighborhood or your area. I mean, okay, yes, I know it's Nixon, Missouri.
Right.
But to someone who's unfamiliar with the territory, it could be anywhere in Missouri. It could be anywhere in the Ozarks, that region, the multi-state region.
Yeah, and if they don't realize
Missouri, Mississippi, those two names sound alike. I can make that mistake.
They're MISs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People make those kind of mistakes, and that's just it. If we were in front of customers 365,
right,
those types of mistakes wouldn't be as big of a worry.
Right.
Because what happens next year when you know, someone goes, oh, yeah, it was one of those miss states. There was a scam haunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's how people remember us, a lot of the time, at least. We think about haunted attractions every day, all day long, and obsess over this stuff. Your customers do not.
Right, exactly.
And they struggle to distinguish between the haunts that are legit and the haunts that are not legit.
Yeah, and if, you know, this gets out there and you don't realize that they applied for a permit and the city denied it, then you might think that all haunts in that area, they just have bad safety records.
Yeah. And what's the deal with the permit being denied and the haunt not being closed?
Exactly. I don't know. I noticed it didn't make it into our notes, but it's like that, the person that...
On our haunted attractions.
Yeah. Who said that the city is shutting down trick-or-treating in their area. They usually have a haunted house, and they're considering still opening the haunted house, even though there's going to be construction.
Yeah. Yeah, and that miffs me especially because we made the decision to terminate our season early.
Right.
Because of the possibility, nay, probability, we would have an unsafe street.
Right.
And given that there's a backhoe at the street corner, it's looking more probable.
Yeah.
It's still very possible road work might not begin until after Halloween.
Yeah, it still may be torn up completely in January for HauntCon.
Yeah, we don't know what
we're going to be bringing adults.
Yeah, it's much different having 24 to 30 adults traipse through people's yards than hundreds of kids.
Right, exactly.
There's a big gap there. I don't care how drunk y'all are, y'all ain't as much troublemakers as 200 kids.
Yeah.
Hundreds of kids. So, I don't know, maybe Troy.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to put Troy in the wheelchair and push him to the...
Oh.
But anyways, the point is, we made the decision, even though the city hasn't told us jack.
No.
We haven't heard anything from the city other than the information we procured by frantically emailing them.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that we should, like, email them and say, hey, you know, because we couldn't get a straight answer, we've canceled it. Don't hold up the work for Halloween if that's what you're planning on doing, because it's too late. Assholes.
Yeah. So it's insanely frustrating.
Yeah.
But we did it out of an abundance of caution. This other person is keeping it open. And I mean, he's got one point is that he has access to a good street.
Yeah.
He's at a corner with a four-way stop. One road's being torn. The other is fine. But even then, if the city is shutting down trick-or-treat in the neighborhood, you still have a construction zone in your yard.
Right.
And here's the thing. If the city does that and someone gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
That's on you.
Exactly.
And if it happens in the street in front of your house, your homeowners may not cover it.
Yeah, exactly.
Your insurance, it's on you, and I would really worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was frustrating and annoying, but, you know, I didn't think we had enough to do a full story on it, because
right.
It really wasn't a lot of info
there. But it kind of ties into this with the permitting issue.
Yeah, it does. But, and the thing is, going back to this, this haunt in Nixa, it gets even worse for them as the story goes on.
Right.
Because we find out some of the complaints that customers have. They said that it was 20 acres big, but there was just 10 minutes of walk time.
Right.
They had like five actors, supposedly. It was almost no one out there doing the scares. And then it doesn't look like the haunt was open because the husband was in jail.
Yeah.
Or the second week. And the reason he was in jail was because apparently he's under arrest for allegedly damaging property to set up the fucking haunt.
Yeah.
He damaged other people's property to set up a trail haunt. It's, oh my God.
Yeah. They're, you know, them and Haunted Puddle are in contention for most violations and... Although Haunted Puddle, nobody wound up in jail for that.
Nobody wound up in jail. Maybe some of them should have. But nobody wound up in jail for Haunted Puddle. People, oh my God. And yeah. It raises the... I mean, because the thing is this. Like I said, when we go to these haunts that are pro-haunts on personal property, they're almost always somewhere extremely rural.
Yeah.
They're a town that you ain't ever heard of in a state, in an area of a state that ain't got nothing.
Right.
You're far away from any of the traditional fire marshals and the stuff that, you know... you would expect. And the result of that is the oversight is nil.
Yeah.
at these haunts is functionally nil. And we got a story later on about very good oversight.
Right.
And I wanted to end on it, so we're coming back to that. But this is what happens. I mean, whenever you have a situation like this where there's such little oversight, you have some haunts that do it right. They still play by the game. They still do everything they can to keep people safe. They behave responsibly. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, that's what we try to do, even with our lack of oversight. But then you have people like this who just don't give us a fuck.
Yeah. I'm going to do what I want to do.
And they wreck the entire local haunt industry, and that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Anyways, another snake story. Let's get out of these guys. We've given these guys enough time.
Too much. All right. So, Slaughterhouse, haunted attraction featuring Slipknot, returns to Des Moines for Halloween. And this is Slipknot merchandise and theming. And they did this last year. And this is a story by Sierra Porter of the Des Moines Register. So, basically, it was a big success. So, they're going to do it again. The two announced the partnership last year, a haunt heavily influenced by the band. So I would suspect you would see a lot of the mask and
images
makeup
and themes from the songs
exactly.
and so forth and videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All a buzz last year. Yeah.
It was weird, though. I mean, I saw this story in the Des Moines Register.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, this was all the haunt community could talk about.
Yeah.
I was inundated with stories, and all I found, at least in my searching, was like one.
Right.
And I have to wonder if it's because, oh yeah, it's been done.
Yeah.
And I think that's honestly the truth. This is the problem with going back to the well for these kinds of gimmicks. They work well once, but they don't necessarily work well the second time. It's one of the reasons HHN changes out all of its mazes and haunted houses every year.
Right.
It's because they know that if they keep going back to the Stranger Things well or the whatever well too many times. Like, they did Stranger Things two years in a row, but with two different seasons.
Right.
That gave them something new to play with.
Exactly.
Okay, I can dig that. But, you know, they're not going to do, you know, the same haunt 2 years in a row. It's going to feel special. This year, it doesn't feel special.
Yeah.
That's the problem with gimmicks like this.
Yeah, now I do think, though, that the legend of the Slipknot haunted house will remain long after Slipknot's no longer involved with this.
We know that's the case because what happened with House of Shock.
Exactly.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
We were at Waffle House last night after our late night of haunting at Scout Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy behind the counter was talking about, yeah, Pantera had a haunted house here.
It was one dude from Pantera.
Yeah.
One member of Pantera, Phil.
Yeah, I was too tired to get into that conversation and correct him.
Yeah. But yeah, and this is like, what, 30 years after his involvement?
Yeah.
I mean, like, people who work at Slipknot, you know, at New Orleans Nightmare, which is the same location, people who work there were probably born a decade after
yeah
Phil was involved.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
And yet the legend still remains. So that will still remain, but I think the idea of marketing this as the Slipknot haunt is losing its novelty.
Yeah, but then on the opposite side of that, you've got the Rob Zombie haunts, which do very well on the name.
Yes. But they also earned a reputation independent as being good haunts.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The gimmick will get people in the door.
Yeah.
But you got to be a good haunt on the backside. And I don't know if this haunt's good or bad. I don't know anything about it.
No. We're going to have to give it a couple more years and see.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. A gimmick will get people in the door. You have got to have a good haunt if you want them to come back.
Yep.
That's what's important.
Exactly.
So, I have no idea, but they're pushing it. They're just not getting quite the media traction this year that they did last year, at least to what I'm seeing in my searches.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of haunted attractions that are opening and doing some very interesting things,
mm-hmm.
A giant haunted attraction is taking over Al Lang Stadium in St. Petersburg, Florida. This is an article by Andrew Harlan at I Love the Berg. The local soccer team there, the Rowdies...
Mm-hmm.
Roddy Pipers. No. are hosting a haunted attraction in the last weekend in October, basically the weekend we would have been open.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to benefit both the team and the St. Pete Free Clinic. It's a nice little charity haunt. And tickets are actually really cheap. It's like $8 a person to get in. They are promising, quote-unquote, sheer terror and some of Hollywood's most horrific creations.
Yeah.
That makes me bite my tongue a little bit.
Well, me too, because in their promotional photo that's in the article, you can see the outlines of Pennywise and Freddy and Pinhead.
Yeah. But the reason I had to throw this in there was because this is the first time I've heard of a sports team doing a haunted attraction in their stadium. I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, wasn't one of the Field of Screams, I know it involved a baseball field.
Yeah, I thought it was a Boy Scout troop doing it, not the actual, like, semi-pro team there.
Yeah, I don't think it was the team, but it happened on a baseball field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I mean, it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And I mean, a stadium could be a great environment for like a haunted festival type thing.
Exactly.
You've got a lot of screen space, definitely.
Yeah. And if,
and you've got the resource, I'm sure you've got snack bars and things like that already there.
Oh, yeah.
Concessions, restrooms already there. So some of the trickier, thornier stuff is already in place.
Yeah. And you know, if the Saints ever did this in the Dome, there would be people lined up around the block.
New Orleans will be fucking closed.
Exactly. Because a chance to meet the players as they scare you? Yes.
Yeah, I think you could sell those tickets for $200 each and New Orleans would still be closed.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God. It would be.
So if this is a popular team.
Yeah.
Then they're going to get some of their fandom there, too.
I don't think the local soccer team is going to have a huge following. I'm just going to take a stab.
No, but they might have some.
Yeah, but still, it's a neat idea. I was very excited to see this, even if there's copyright and other issues taking place here. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a good time. And it looks like they're also doing the smart thing for them, which is pitching it as an all-ages thing.
Right.
Even going as far as to offer kids under 2 at free admission.
Exactly.
And the mere fact they have that tier tells me what they're thinking.
Exactly. They're thinking families.
Yeah, they're thinking families. That's the smart bet for this type of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought they did. I thought it was a neat idea at the very, very least.
Yeah, I did too. Okay. Next up, we've got a popular haunted house. This is coming from Todd Kaufman at 660 News. In Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Basically, a home haunt called Panamount Panic is...
In limbo.
In the limbo. That's a good way to put it, Jonathan. It's in limbo because a neighbor has complained that their street view is being blocked by the extension of the haunted house in front of the house. The people have been putting this on for years.
No, I gotta say, I looked at the photo and I went, a little bit because
it
does literally come all the way from the backyard to the very curb.
It does.
Which, A, in New Orleans, doing that isn't gonna work because of easements.
Right.
There's a 5-foot easement from the edge of the sidewalk into your property, so you have to leave that clear.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Brad.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's happening to his yard.
Oh, it's going to get torn the fuck up is what's going to happen.
That's what we're hoping.
No.
Anyway.
It's going to get torn the fuck up is what's going to happen, Brad.
Okay.
But anyway.
But yeah, neighbor complained. Others have said, no, we've got to save this and have started a petition to try to save it.
And this local home haunt has 1,200 signatures on a petition.
Yeah.
Now, I get, we all talk about how online petitions don't change anything, and that's probably very true, even in this case. But that's a sign of some respect for a tiny little home haunt.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if we got 1,200 signatures on something like this, I'd be deeply touched.
Yeah.
I
mean, I know that I looked today and our numbers are getting close to 500 people reached on our video about closing this year.
Yeah.
But
now, the city has said they're trying to work something out here. They're trying to figure this out. But they've temporarily been shut down with no ability to open. But the city, like I said, is working with them, so there is hope, and there is good neighborhood support for them to open. So maybe something can happen here. They're saying all hope is not lost, but it's still looking fairly grim, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to see how many years they've been doing this.
It did not say.
Yeah, that's why I can't remember.
Yeah, it did not say.
Yeah. But it's a sad story, and hopefully they're able to work something out. But.
Yeah, I really do, because it looks like a really fun home haunt, and home haunts like that, and this guy seems to take safety very seriously, judging from what his comments are. Yeah, and I've got another article. It said, we've been doing this for a few years. We haven't had any issues. So, and he said he spent 75 hours getting ready for Halloween already. And now it's 1 week to shut it down completely or move the parts of it into the backyard. And that's the one thing that we've always done,
mm-hmm.
is every element of our haunt, the queue line and the haunt itself, are all in the backyard.
Right.
We have nothing past the gate in the front of the house.
No, other than the yard display, which is totally different because that's all lighted skeletons and stuff.
So
that's a trick or treat.
There's nothing built, nothing physical
anywhere
in the front yard other than the likes of the yard display. And I think that's been one of the things that's really helped us, because we don't take up the driveway. We've been tempted to. It would have been very cool to build an entire structure all the way out.
Oh, yeah.
I would have loved to have done it, but we knew we would face a lot of pushback immediately.
Yeah, and so we focus on changing up the inside every year, building new things, and adding detail so that it keeps it interesting for people.
So, yeah, I mean, here's hoping that they're able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because good luck. Basically, good luck, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, Halloween Horror Nights announces Throwback Thursdays featuring both Chucky, Beetlejuice, and others. This comes to us from John Squires at Bloody Disgusting. Halloween Horror Nights has announced that every Thursday this season is going to be an 80s throwback night, and I am too fucking young to have my childhood be a fucking throwback night already.
Yeah.
I'm not, am I?
No.
God fucking damn it. It'll feature such 80s classics as Ghostbusters, Creepshow, and Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And it will be hosted by Beetlejuice. It will run a song beside the usual assortment of mazes and so forth. And one interesting twist, HHN usually discourages costumes, is my understanding.
Mm.
You're really not supposed to be in costume.
Right.
They are encouraging people to dress the 80s part. Come in your fanny packs, your leg warmers, your...
Day glow,
whatever bull crap you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Flock of Seagulls haircuts.
I was thinking high ponytails.
Though now everyone in Flock of Seagulls is bald.
Yeah.
Which is... Seriously, look it up. It's really weird. Okay, just trust me on this one. It's really weird.
The seagulls took the hair.
But yeah, you can come in that stuff, dress the part, and blend in. That's every Thursday at HHN, and this is the Hollywood one, is what they're reporting on. I do not know if they're doing it at the Orlando one, too.
Yeah. Okay. Next story is by Corey Polnell at WSF.
It is now. Your name's Polnell, Corey.
Yeah. Now it is. WFSB, Six Flags is offering a $600 for 30-hour coffin challenge. They've done this before, but basically you have to stay in a coffin for 30 hours while doing puzzles and completing challenges.
Yeah, it's weird. They did this last year, but last year it was basically, okay, look, you're in a coffin, you've got a cell phone charging port.
Yeah.
And basically, you're going to stay there and just go out for bathroom breaks, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. I could do that.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Lay on my lazy ass for 30 hours. I call that vacation, motherfucker.
Exactly.
I got Jim Cornette to catch up on.
Yeah.
Geez, 30 hours. I got time.
Yeah.
So, but now they're adding challenges.
Right. Like eating a dried cricket. I've already done that.
Yep. That's actually quite yum.
Yeah, they were fine. Eating chicken liver, those are yummy. I don't see
I'm not
a problem there.
Very punished here.
And eating a jalapeno.
You can tell they did not run this challenge by Louisianans.
No.
You can tell this is a motherfucking challenge for somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because we do all three of those in one meal. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe not dried crickets, but I mean, boudin is on the same level of weirdness as dried crickets.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've gotten into conversations about the dinner table growing up where, you know, squirrel brains were ate.
Yeah.
I've tried them. I do not eat them. I did not like them, but there was a hammer.
That was
the
worst
table.
Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Squirrel brains and eggs or whatever.
Yeah. It probably They probably taste better scrambled into eggs, actually.
Oh, man.
Or maybe as an adult, but.
But yeah, and then if there's a tie, though, it will be settled by a hot chicken wing eating contest. Once again, not running this by any Louisianans.
No, I'm thinking that my dad should do this.
Yeah, your dad laying down for 30 hours with cell phone, eating dry crickets and eating jalapenos. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I would not want to smell the coffin.
No.
After he's done with it. Because
I wouldn't want to be in next year's challenge in that.
Oh, God. And then get his old coffin. Couldn't air it out enough. Now, unfortunately, you had to register by September 29th. It will take place October 12th if you are interested. So, yeah, and it seems to be in multiple Six Flags locations, basically. Yeah. I mean, they reported it here. I can't remember which one they were reporting it for, but it seems to be in multiple. They did it last year. Once again, this is one of those stories that, like, last year got all the buzz in the world.
Yeah.
This year, it was kind of hard to find anything about.
Yeah.
So, it's just interesting. But, yeah, they're trying to literally to spice it up.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make.
No.
Because it's still basically people laying on their ass for 30 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Seriously, that's it's 30 hours for $600. That's $20 an hour.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. It's not bad.
It's better than a living wage.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. If you happen to be anywhere near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you need to get yourself to the Benjamin Franklin Bridge because they are projecting a holographic ghost ship underneath the bridge between now and November 3rd. It's Wednesday through Sunday, 7 to 10 p.m. This article, by the way, is Kelly Rule at Fox 29, Philadelphia. The video attached to this article, when you get the links in the show notes, looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting is it's not, they wouldn't say how it's being projected, but you cannot see the projectors. They said all it is water, like misty water, and light and math.
Mm-hmm.
Is all they would say.
Yeah.
You bastards.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though.
It's a really cool effect. It's a truly 3D ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to see that.
And best part is you get to take a free audio tour, self-guided audio tour, while you're there. And it's put on by the Delaware Riverfront, river waterfront. It's on the Delaware River.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the funny thing. The organizers say it wasn't meant for Halloween.
No.
It just kind of worked out.
Yeah, they just happened to be launching it in October.
You know, you know what you do in that situation? If you genuinely didn't mean it for Halloween,
yeah.
You lie your ass off and say you did.
You say, of course we're going to have...
Yeah, of course it's for Halloween.
Of course it's for Halloween. Yeah, we're going to have, you know, ghost characters appear in costume to help guide you to the different places to listen
to
this stuff.
Yeah, okay, I get it. You didn't intend it. Yeah. But it's a great coincidence. Run with it. Take that football and go.
Exactly.
Run it right into the ground.
No.
The artist said it took him 6 months to figure out how to do this.
I believe it.
I believe it, yeah. It's a really, really cool effect. It's unlike anything I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like something like Disney or whatever, but yeah, I've not seen anything like this. It's really cool, and I would love to see it. Mm-hmm. And that's a bridge that connects Philadelphia with New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, so if you're in either state, you can probably go check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, if you're in either state, you probably knew the name of the bridge, and I just wasted my breath telling you.
Well, you know, there might be people visiting.
That's true. Well, our last story this week is just a feel-good story. I like trying to end news episodes on something that makes me happy. And getting some positive press about haunt safety tickles my cockles.
It does.
My cockles have been tickled
yes.
by this story. It's an article by Jack Ebel at Fox 43. And it features an interview with Jerry West of Kim's Crypt Haunted Mill in York County, Pennsylvania. Still in Pennsylvania, see, I didn't even think about that part.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is talking about all of the stuff haunted attractions go through in that area to keep people safe. It talks about, I mean, the stuff that we know, like everyone yeah. listening to this knows.
Yeah.
Stuff like fire extinguishers, smoke detectors, the emergency lights, the emergency exits, and having them have them every 40 feet, and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
It's all this stuff. And yeah, we're all like, ugh, so bored of that. I'm so tired of it. The fire marshal, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But this is positive press about it. It's making haunts look like a safe place to take families and come visit and buy tickets at.
Yeah. Yeah, hearing about this story, all I could think of was the Ogilvy ad about the aircraft.
Yeah. And what she's talking about there was an airline, I can't remember which one, I think it was American Airlines.
I think so.
Contracted David Ogilvy's agency to run an ad. And what David Ogilvy did is, here's all the things we do before you take off to make sure that the plane gets there safely.
Yeah.
It was basic, and it was just a list of like a whole crap ton of things, like 50 odd things. All he did was copy like the FAA pre-flight checklist.
Yeah.
This was all mandated stuff. Every airline does this.
Yeah.
But they were just the ones to brag about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was brilliant. And so, yeah, and that's just it. And one thing I found interesting was that haunts in this area have to be registered with the Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's kind of a weird...
Well, we've been to some here that are registered as farm attractions.
Yeah. And they have very specific signs to avoid legal issues and all.
Right. And they have to register with the agricultural.
Yeah. And they have to be registered there, and they have to report any incidents that result in people getting hurt to them.
Mm-hmm.
And but it goes on and on about how haunts are doing all these things to keep themselves safe. And compare this to the first story we had
mm-hmm.
with the haunt that scam people.
Right.
And then hurt neighboring haunts, which are apparently trying to do very legitimate work.
Yep.
You know, this is the type of press we want. Yeah, okay, I get it. Safety isn't very scary.
I don't know. Lack of safety can be very scary.
Yeah, but it's the wrong kind of scary.
Yes.
Haunted attractions are meant to be scary like roller coasters. You're meant to have complete confidence you're going to get to the other side of that roller coaster in one piece.
Exactly.
That being said, you want the shit scared out of you while you're on the coaster.
Yeah.
You want drops and twists and turns. You want your body freaking out and adrenaline pumping. You want all that. But you still want to know you're going to arrive in one piece at the other end.
Yeah.
Looking at you, roller coaster on Galveston Pier.
Yeah, that was awesome. I loved it.
It was... For a small roller coaster, it was probably the most intense roller coaster of that size I've ever been on.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
90 up, 90 down.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuck.
Yeah.
That was something. But yeah, all in all, I really love this article. They talk about, and these are things all haunts do, and I wish they had put more emphasis on that.
Right.
But they were trying to tell more of like the human interest story. They're interviewing this dude, and he's talking about all the things that he's got to do. And I get that. But these are things all haunts do. Even we do them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, other than registering with the different departments.
Yeah, we're not legally required to do that. But other than that, yeah. But like the emergency lights, the fire extinguisher, smoke detectors, things like that.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Even though we technically don't have to. We believe in it that passionately.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It was great. I'm glad to see it. And I hope that haunts continue to drive this point home, because we don't need to be known as a sketchy industry that you may or may not come back from.
No.
That keeps people away. That keeps people in their homes. We want to be known as the super scary, super exciting industry that will get you back to your car just fine.
Yeah. Go have fun. Go through trials with your friends and family.
Yeah.
And go home happy.
Yeah. And have some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all the news we have right now. There's been a lot of other stuff going on. And since we have another news episode coming up at 2 or 4, 3 weeks away, that's less time. We might come back and cover some of those if somehow, some way, the next 3 weeks doesn't make, you know, 10 to 12 stories worth of news.
Right.
But yes, this one did. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us over this past near hour. This has been Haunt Weekly, episode 201, covering the September-October news for 2019. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can find all the previous episodes there. You can also find us at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever finer podcasts are distributed. Until next time, though, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next time. We got a lot of Haunt Weekly episodes to record in the next couple of days. So we're looking forward to it. And we'll see you guys then.